This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So how does that work? Like everybody Zooms together and 32 members?
The Zooms are interesting. When you have people that calling out other people on Zoom and they think they're on mute, it's pretty entertaining.
No, come on. That's happened.
It's pretty entertaining.
Earlier on the show, host of NFL Red Zone, Scott Hansen. Coming up from the new film Wander, actor Aaron Eckhart, former Clemson defensive back Ray McElrathbay. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everyone. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Rich Eisen Show here on this Friday of 2020 in the month of December. We had a chat with Scott Hansen, my buddy from NFL Media Group's NFL Red Zone. It's the 200th episode of NFL Red Zone on NFL Media Group channels, and that's Week 13. For which I will give you three games that are not on anybody's radar greatly. With all the games that are on the Week 13 marquee, I'll give you three under the radar, as I do every Friday. Chris Brockman, are you going to give us three sneaky good games today?
Three sneaky good.
Okay, try and take your hard-earned American dollars and take Chris Brockman's advice and make more hard-earned American dollars for
you. Do our best.
Or not hard-earned, but, you know, less. It's better than a coin flip, basically what we're saying.
You know what? I've struggled of late, so it's about a coin flip.
I'll give you my unluckiest lock of the week, which is don't take it to any bank at all, but I just have this feeling that it's going to happen. It's an upset. And that'll be in between our interview that's going to end the show with the former Clemson Tiger, Ray McElrathbay, a safety who played in 2006. His life story, or at least his life story when he was at Clemson, has been turned into a new Disney Plus film called Safety. You see the commercials for it all over television these days. And it's a fascinating story of how Ray took his brother, Famar, into his custody when he was on campus and playing for Clemson football because his brother was ticketed for foster care and he didn't want to have that happen and everything that happened with him and his teammates and his campus life and the NCAA makes for a Disney Plus streamer that is going to be launched next week. And Ray will be on our show to wrap up the program. But right now we turn to the Zoom that I conducted a couple of days ago. We had Aaron Eckhart in studio a couple years, 3 years ago, I think, for one of his latest films. And when we got a knock on the door to say that he was available to come back for his new movie Wander with Tommy Lee Jones, that was a no-brainer. This is a great conversation. Sit back and enjoy some great movie set storytelling with Aaron Eckhart. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show in advance of his movie Wander in theaters, video on demand, and digital on this very day, none other than Aaron Eckhart. How are you doing, Aaron?
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You got it. So I remember on the conversation that we had last time you were in studio, I'm looking at you right here. Is that the black of silver and black of the Oakland Raiders, the beard and the shirt choice? That's the silver and black that you're wearing.
I peppered my beer in honor of the Raiders. And no, this is old age here.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. And I haven't started dyeing it yet. I'm still a Raiders fan.
That's good.
You know, can you not be?
You're from Northern California, right? That's where you're born and bred into the Raiderdom through that way.
Yeah, I was born in Cupertino in San Jose, at a time where, I'm not sure I mentioned this on your show last time, but
go for it.
There was an office building there in San Jose and they put up this weird sign. It was an apple. You see what I'm saying?
I do, because, you know, so many people with their iPhones, when they look down at their phone and see the time zone, certainly on the left coast, it says Cupertino on it.
Yeah, Cupertino.
And now here I am talking to you. I have some notes here on my iPhone, my iPad right here. I'm talking to you on a Zoom through MacBook Air. I mean, it's amazing what the world is, and we're all now connected. And
You know, and things have been totally changed. And that's why I'm, you know, when you hear on these football games about next gen stats and like this player got up to 20 miles per hour on this play and it was an 8% chance of this pass not being completed. I'm an old gen stat guy, wins, losses, you know, in baseball, home runs, runs batted. And I'm an old gen stat guy, you know.
When does that start affecting the experience of the game as a fan? You know, when you're more interested in stats, I know with fantasy football and betting and all that,
right.
But that's what kind of confused me in the last few years was, you know, what's more important, wins and losses or how fast he ran or how many completions they have or what's rush per play, you know, all that starts to become more important, I think, instead of, you know, hitting hard, you know, playing the game right, being tough. So it's an interesting, different experience today.
So who was your guy growing up, Aaron? Who was your Raider?
Stabler.
Stabler, right?
Yeah, and for this exact reason. Because the snake, he would run all over the field. You know, look at Fran Tarkenton. He didn't care. You know, he wasn't going to get fired. That's why we love Brett Favre, you know, and coaches that are going to go for it on fourth down and one, you know, in inches. And they're not going to run the numbers. They're just going to go for it. And come what may. I think that in the long run, the fans will appreciate the, not only the coach and the player, but they'll appreciate the team and the experience more if you go in with that attitude. When you start playing prevent and all that sort of stuff, you know, it's just no fun for the fans.
You know, could you imagine if somebody ever told Stabler, you know, our numbers say you should throw it here. You know, right. Our numbers say you should just check down. Check down, throw it deep. You know, right, you know, pocket. Could you?
You know, Bradshaw throwing, you know, in the fourth quarter to Swan or something like that. You know, he's got, you know, three teeth. You know, he's got the one bar. The one bar. You know, takes his helmet off and his hair's everywhere. That's what I love about football. You know, today it's a little bit more buttoned up. It's obviously more corporate. And you can say it's the same thing about the movie industry. You know, it's the difference between what I call studio films and independent movies like the one I just made. Right. The one I just made is Bradshaw with no teeth in the front and his hair everywhere. And he's going for it on fourth down. Studio films is more like, I won't say what, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more buttoned up.
Let's touch on this then a little bit here before we get to Wander and then a little bit more of your filmography. What is your favorite sports movie, Aaron? What do you love?
Well, besides the one I was in Any Given Sunday. I played Nick Crozier.
That's right.
You know, I can tell you stories about that movie.
Please. Okay. I'm all ears, Aaron. Please. What do you got? What do you got?
Just about Pacino and, you know, as the coach and I don't want to, it was a great time to be with. We had all of them. Everybody was on the set, you know, cause we made that movie in Miami. We had Keyshawn, we had Jim Brown, we had them all and everybody came and visited, you know, everybody that was in Miami. So you'd show up and everybody would be there. And, it was fun seeing Al, who I don't know how much he knew about football at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And being the coach, and he gave that inspirational
the inches, the speech of inches. Yeah,
it was electric, and you had all those pros in there, and they were riveted.
Yeah, like Lawrence Taylor's listening to that speech on inches, and he's locked in.
Exactly, Lawrence Taylor, and they, after Al, everybody spontaneously after that scene got up and clapped and erupted in cheers. And you had people like Lawrence Taylor and going, that's the best speech I've ever heard a coach say. And there's times where I was up in the booth in Dallas Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, that was in from the car park. It's, I don't know how many, it's got to be a mile or something. Yeah. And I was doing a scene up there and I was on the telex and Al's feeding me plays, you know, and Al doesn't know any plays. You know, he's like TYX 4-3 go left, you know, like this. So I'm doing my thing. And I took off my, and Oliver wasn't even there because we were running three sets at the same time. Oliver was filming somewhere else. So I took off my telex and I ran all the way down the top of Dallas Stadium in the booth. I knocked on Al's trailer. Al opens the door. He's in a kimono robe. He's eating Chinese dick up with a telex on. He goes, kid, what are you doing here?
He's shooting a scene, giving you plays, but he's in real life sitting in a kimono eating Chinese food?
Yeah. hilarious. The whole movie was like that. I remember walking on the set my first time, and Al was out there. Oh, this is a good story.
This is great.
I was, first day, I just went to go visit the set. I wasn't even filming that day. And we're out on the practice field, and Al's out there running drills with the guys, and they had another practice squad going to the left of them, and everybody was working. All the cameras were working, right? So I get up there, and Oliver sees me. He goes, Aaron, get in there. I go, Al, I'm not even working. I'm not even in costume. I haven't. He goes, get in there. This is the big leagues. So I go in there, and I stand next to Al, and Al looks at me, and he goes, what are you doing here? Oliver goes, Aaron, go over there to this practice squad. So I go over to the practice squad. And I'm standing, and nobody knows who I am. Uh-huh. Nobody knows who I am. And these are big football players, tough dudes,
yeah.
Big guys, strong, kill you. And they're running the play, and the scene's going. But before Oliver says cut, these guys start to get lays off. They start to, drop the ball. They're not working. So as a coach on camera in the middle of a scene, as an actor, I start yelling at them. You pick up that ball. I never want to see you ever do that again. You work it through. I get right up in the face of this big ball player. And he has no idea who I am. He looks at me and goes, you ever talk to me like that again, I'm going to kick your ass like that. I said, hey, man, I'm your coach. So then Oliver says, cut.
Right,
because we're still in the scene, right?
Right.
Off this cut, and I go, and I looked at the guy, and I go, I'm an actor. I'm your coach in the movie. So it was just like that. The whole movie was just bananas. And Jamie and LL Cool J, and it was awesome.
And Charlton Heston is the commissioner of the NFL. I mean, what a great casting that is, right?
Cameron was in it. And, Jim Brown really was an interesting character in that because, in the movie, he was strong. But outside of the movie, you could see that everybody just gravitated to Jim Brown. And especially all the young players in this, they gravitated. He would hold counsel. Between takes and in the setups, people would ask his advice. What do you think about this? And they would be very quiet around Jim all the time because there was a reverence, that other players had for Jim. And I didn't know anything really about it, to be honest with you.
Right.
And then I sort of learned it as it went. And very interesting to see. He would give advice and was a sage counselor.
Well, it's that way to this day, too, Aaron. I mean, a couple of years ago on NFL Network, we had a show to celebrate his 80th birthday and invited all a host of Hall of Fame running backs from yesteryear, but, not from Jim's year. Franco Harris and Marshall Faulk and Eric Dickerson, and to come in and celebrate with him. And it's the same thing. Today, it's still the same thing today. I hosted an NFL 100 all-time team show last year. Emmett Smith came in, and honestly, it's all bowing down to the GOAT, Jim Brown, still to this day.
Is the advice that he would give people was not always what I thought it would be. He was a strict disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm.
And he really talked to him about money and how to behave and how to comport yourself and sort of thing. And I think it had an effect for sure.
Aaron Eckhart here on the Rich Eisen Show. There's some great stories right there, man. Let's talk about Wander. What you like about this film and what people should know as they're making their decisions to go see a film, digital on demand and also in theaters today. Go for it.
Well, standing up to power, when you think you're weak, to me, this movie's about instincts. A guy has an instinct, especially when he's grieving, he's on pills, he's isolated himself from society, but he has this instinct inside of him that says, I need to follow that lead. I need to go track that down. And in the face of all opposition from his friends, his family, from the powers that be, he follows that lead. And, reaps the consequences of it. But he stands truth to power. And the interesting thing about this movie is I play a father that lost his daughter and lost his wife in a car accident too. And I don't think everything's as it has been said by the police. And so people start calling me a conspiracy theorist and all this sort of thing. And I've looked up, started to study that and all that. And I've come to the conclusion that when somebody calls you a conspiracy theorist, when you know it's true, they're trying to shut you down. They're trying to stop the conversation. They don't want you to ask any more questions. And then you have to, because of that, you have to ask more questions.
Right.
If somebody doesn't want you to ask questions, then you have to ask more questions. And that's, and Arthur, this character, everybody thought he's nuts, and he's got a nutty partner, Tommy Lee Jones, who's in a Hawaiian shirt and yellow tinted glasses. And so we go on this journey, and the journey's just weird. The movie's weird. It's a nice little thriller, and I think people will definitely enjoy the journey that this this sort of whacked out guy goes on.
Yeah, with Catherine Winnick and Heather Graham as well. Tommy Lee Jones, do you in any moment in time on set when you're not working? I know, again, you know, I'm assuming if you did shoot it in the last year that there are certain protocols, but just pick his brain at all? I mean, you've been there, done that. You've been in this business a long time. Or just go fanboy in a little bit of a way with Tommy Lee Jones?
I'm fanboy.
Yeah. Right?
It's just like with Jim Brown, what we're talking about. You know, I'm just at their feet. Tell me a story, man. What was it like in the old days when you were working? Or what were you thinking when you just did that? Tell me how you do it. Or I don't say anything and I just watch it. And that's usually more instructive because I say, I know the script. Obviously, I know his part. I know my part.
Right.
And I say, okay, what's your choice here? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with this? And interestingly enough, when you're looking at an Academy Award winner, American icon actor,
yeah,
it's usually the choice that you didn't pick. It's usually the opposite. A guy like that, you know, and other actors I've worked with, they usually, when you want them to go big, they go small. And when you want them to go small, they go big. And you go, wow, I never would have thought about it. And that's what makes them great.
And, you know, Tommy Lee Jones, what, let's just hit that one more time. And then I want to hit, before I let you go, another film from your filmography. Because again, Tommy Lee Jones is a part of Wander, which is the name of the town actually from this film. And just like so many other great movies, there's a nice double entendre about the title. The Fugitive for me is a remote drop. That's it. Like what's your remote drop movie where you are watching or you're home, you're seeing it, you're flipping around where, just give me a couple of them for you, where you just drop the remote. It doesn't matter where you pick it up. You've got to finish it and blow off your schedule to finish the movie.
Well, I'm going to go back. I would say The Fugitive, definitely. That's an excellent. I mean, Tommy just commanded that movie.
Right.
Something like that. His choices in that movie. The thing about Tommy is that he doesn't make a lot of movement. Like, I'm jumping around like a Mexican jumping bean. You know, Tommy Lee Jones is straight, and he gives it to you straight. He's like Edward G. Robinson, and he's magnetic. And that's the way he was in The Fugitive. And he's still totally commanding. I think movies that affected me, mic drop, there have been so many, but Apocalypse Now for sure. I remember watching Poltergeist, you know, just in my, you know, Rocky for sure. I was just talking to Sylvester Stallone not too long ago about something. We were on the phone together. And I said, do you understand the effect that you've had on people? Do you understand what Rocky means to people like me that saw it in the theater three times in 1976 and that I walked out of there a new man, talking about a guy who's an up and coming. He's down and out. He's got a down and out coach. You know, he's got everything's against him and he makes it work. He does it through hard work. And I think something like Rocky is an illustration of the American dream.
Well, I, for somebody in a position of what I do for a living, it's kind of a controversial take, Bryce. I don't call Rocky a sports movie. It's a love story. It's a love story. That movie is a love story between Rocky and obviously Adrian. I've mentioned that to Carl Weathers when he's been on the show. He thinks it's also a love story between Apollo Creed and Rocky. That movie works on so many. It is a remarkable film. And it also, in the day and age, you want to talk about great time for movies. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, that was also at the same time Network came out, which is another remote drop for me. And it's a required film for anybody in the television business to see Network and see what that movie is, you know. Wow. You know, and I rarely pick my computer up when I do the Zooms at home, but right there you can see that is none other than Peter Finch as the great Howard Beale that I have on the wall of my office.
Great picture.
That's a remote drop.
I mean, look at that era, you know, everything from Butch Cassidy to, you know, I mean, all the 70s. Look at Clint Eastwood, how many mic drops he's had or remote drops. Have I ever been in a remote drop? I think The Dark Knight probably is for some people.
No question about that. And that's what I wanted to kind of hit with you before I'll let you go, especially since for those, you know, we're on a simulcast on radio to describe your light, the way it's kind of hitting you, half your face is in light and half is in dark. I feel like I've been having an interview with Harvey Dent this entire time.
Right on that, but yeah.
It has been very, you know, and we do have Christopher Nolan's coming on the show next week. What was that like working with him?
Tell him I said hello and thank you.
Yes.
You know, the thing that I reflect back on that movie was Chris came from independent movies, and I still do them. You know, obviously he's blown up. I mean, he is the director in Hollywood. I mean, he is the guy. But he runs his movies like independent movies. They're small. He runs it. Everybody stays on set. There's not a lot, in my experience, there wasn't big catering. There's not, you know, people don't run back to their trailers and isolate. They're expected to be on their set. They're expected to be there when you need them and work. Chris, I don't know if he still does it, but every day he'd wear a vest, a three-piece suit, and he had a, you know, his watch, you know, in his pocket right here. I mean, he's Alfred Hitchcock. He is an auteur and he has complete command. Remember one time I said to Chris, we were in England and we were in one of the largest hangars in the world. There's two of them right next to each other. I can't remember what they're called, but Harry Potter films there. And we had three of the largest green screens in the world working at the same time right there. And I said to Chris, without mentioning green screens, I said, Chris, you know, we ought to do an action movie one day. And he looked at me strange and he goes, what do you think we're doing? And I kind of looked around at the three largest green screens in the world. I looked at a railroad car that's going to crash into this or the Batmobile and everything. I go, oh, yeah, we kind of are doing one.
What was that scene like with you and Heath Ledger in the hospital? What was that like?
It was an interesting scene. They were setting up. The crew was setting up all the C-stands, the lights, all that sort of stuff. And so I went and I got in bed. And I must have been in bed an hour or two before, you know, and just watched them and everything and getting used to, because I really didn't know what I was going to do. And then all of a sudden I see Heath come in from the side there. Didn't say anything. And he's kind of talking to himself and flicking his hands. Again, they're, you know, walking around and setting stuff up. And then he starts walking around the bed like this, not saying anything to me, not really looking at me. And I'm looking at him. He walks around a few times, kind of just like this. And then the time he gets on this side, he flicks his arm out like that to me. And then he walks around and he looks at me strange this way. And then he comes back over and he did the same hand movement. And I grabbed his hand. And we did that for however long they were setting up. We just did this dance together. And then before you knew it, we were so connected that all of a sudden the crew just sort of did their thing and they left and we went into it. And by that time, we had done it so many times without speaking, or he would say something that wasn't even scripted. And then all of a sudden we just did the scene and it was beautiful. And then the thing that I liked most about that was we were walking out after a hard day's work. It was very emotional and we were tired and we're walking out and he puts his arm around me and he goes, that was a good day's work. And for an actor to say that to another actor, especially where Heath was going, because I remember in rehearsal or somewhere, I said to Gary Oldman, one of the best actors the world has today, Gary Oldman, great actor. I said, Heath's doing something special. And Gary goes, yes, he is. So everybody knew it. And even I remember talking to Chris about that. He goes, Heath is doing something very special here. And we were all privileged to be around him watching that.
Aaron, this has been a blast, man. I'd love to do this as often as you are up for it. And Wander is available in theaters on VOD and digital today. Aaron, you're the man. Thanks for the time and the great stories. Just great.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
You bet. That's Aaron Eckhart back here on The Rich Eisen Show.
How great was that, huh?
Gosh, what an awesome.
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, at some point I got to get to The Dark Knight.
Right.
You know, we only had about 10, 15 minutes with him. That went way longer than that. And there's, the way, even a more full, longer version on our YouTube page, because we did put a few things on the cutting room floor just so we could fit it right here, where I'm just sitting there thinking, how do I get to The Dark Knight? I'm going to get to The Dark Knight because I'm talking to Harvey Dent the way that the light changed. It literally had split his face into light and dark, and he turned it to the Dark Knight himself by saying, if I've ever been in a remote drop movie, and that's a remote drop. That's one of yours. I know that,
Chris. Oh, no doubt. Right? That movie's on all the time. It's on cable. It's on the movie channels. And I stop what I'm doing and watch the rest of it.
And for those who are watching us on Peacock, you can move your remote to find The Dark Knight right here. Right after this show, obviously. But you can watch The Dark Knight right here on Peacock. And we do have next week Christopher Nolan, the director of The Dark Knight and Tenet and so many great movies. He'll be on next week's edition of The Rich Eisen Show. We've got that coming up on the program. Ray Mack, Rich Eisen Show, talking about his new movie based on his Disney Plus. That's what we got rolling here on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back with Chris Brockman giving us his sneaky good games and my three games that are under the radar for a week. 13. That's coming up. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com and be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve and white or heather gray. We've got hats, people, and, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. RichEisenStore.com, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Ray McElrathby is going to be joining us. His new the movie based on his life from his time at Clemson called Safety is going to be streaming on Disney Plus starting next week. So we're going to have Ray on shortly to talk about all that. Great chat with Aaron Eckhart right there. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got a poll question on football and cookies. What more American can you get than poll questions on football and cookies, for crying out loud? I guess gambling advice, that's coming
well,
up.
Well, yeah, that's American.
That's the three. That's the triple play right there. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got a lot to get to, including our sneaky good games, as well as my unluckiest lock of the week. But let's get to right here three games underneath the radar for the NFL 2020 Week 13 campaign. My three games underneath the radar right here on the show. Okay, so we've got three games, one early and a couple late for me right here on our radar screen. My first one up is Lions Bears.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that.
Oh my. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody. Why am I talking about it? Well, one team has already got an interim head coach in the Lions. I'll tell you this, man. If Trubisky lays an egg against the Detroit Lions, who'd fire their coach and then come out with a win in Chicago, and Trubisky looks like garbage again, and that the fourth quarter in which the Packers defense basically said, we're stopping playing, we don't want to get anybody get hurt, and suddenly the Bears ran up and down the field like a track meet, and that is Fugazi, that really isn't something you can build off of. That's a major problem. Then the Bears are 5-7. You're talking about a loss season that was once at 5-1, six straight losses. Foles is the backup. I mean, no answers anywhere around. That's a huge game. And I know Daryl Bevel said he was all jacked up. What are the Lions going to do, right, with their interim head coach? Will they be the third team with an interim head coach to turn things around like the Falcons and the Houston Texans have? That's one game. Nobody's talking about the Giants and the Seahawks, but if I had told you that there's going to be a Week 13 game on the docket between the leaders of the NFC West and the NFC East that no one would really be talking about.
Man.
But that is the case. The Giants are leading the NFC East. The Seahawks are leading the NFC West.
Well, yeah.
It's Colt McCoy. And I know, that these are all, this is fact. Okay. These are facts. It's Colt McCoy taking the Giants with their first three-game win streak in years into the Pacific Northwest to try and beat a Seahawks team that might be overlooking them. And after this, though, if the Seahawks do what we're expecting them to do, and we see that, the next up for the Seattle Seahawks are the New York Jets. And then the Washington football team before they finish up with two division opponents, the Rams and the 49ers. This could be the beginning of the Seahawks trying to make a run for the one seed. So keep an eye on all that. Those are two of the three games. And then my third game that nobody's talking about. Who's talking about Rams and Cardinals? Seriously.
I'm going to talk about it in a second.
I know that, but the Rams are currently your five seed. Yeah. The Cardinals are currently your seventh seed. Cardinals have lost three of four. They've lost their mojo. Larry Fitzgerald was just announced is not coming off the COVID-19 list. He will not be in this game. Jalen Ramsey will be squarely on DeAndre Hopkins. And is Kyler Murray just going to keep trying to throw it to him? He has to. It's time. I mean, I know Ramsey has been erasing people from DK Metcalf to you name it. But it's now DeAndre Hopkins standing across from number 20 of the Los Angeles Rams. And will Kyler Murray be able to run away from number 99? Because if they don't, they're 6-6. And here come the 49ers.
Yeah, exactly.
In that building next night against the Bills team. So keep an eye on all of that. And then on that Monday night, just kind of a bonus to keep your eye on. Will the 49ers do what I told their CEO, Jed York, to do? Because they are in Arizona as the home team with full control of the stadium, which was confirmed by Jed York. They should play every different version and angle of the Hail Murray the minute that the Bills come out to try and warm up and just basically say, don't look at us. This is the Arizona Cardinals stadium. We just hit play on what was in there. We didn't realize it until about 2 minutes in that it was the worst play of your nightmares, pretty much, of the 2020 season. Keep an eye on all that. Those are all bonus under the radar.
I love it for
week 13. All right, Chris, it's time for your sneaky games here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
All right, I'm struggling of late. It's basically a coin flip at this point, but do with this information what you will. Looking at three totals here. Three totals. Browns-Titans. Rich, we talked about how huge of a game this weekend. I'm going to go under. This total seems really high to me. It's at 54. I'm going to go under this. I think both teams, two of the best running teams in the league. I think it's going to be that type of game where we're looking at extended drives, five, six, 7 minute drives here for touchdowns. I like the under here. Rams, Cardinals, Rich, you talked about it. Nobody's talking about it. I think this is going to go over the 48.5. Arizona's defense has given up in the last like 6 weeks, 34 to Seattle, 34 to Miami, 30 points to Buffalo, 28. So they give up a lot of points. I think the Rams get their mojo back. And this is an offensive shootout with a healthy Kyler Murray. Lastly, Eagles, Packers. We know Green Bay can put up some points. And I think Carson Wentz is going to be able to move the ball, kind of like Mitch Trubisky did late in the game on this past week. and be able to kind of get some garbage points to push this over the total of 48.
All right, Chris Brockman, sneaky good games right there. Do with it what you wish is what you said. You gotta sell a little better than that.
Well,
man.
Look,
don't get yourself down just
I'm down because I'm kind of struggling lately. So I'm just.
But you're still above 500. You're still above.
I'm above 500, but I just want to front load that. You know, I'm trying to do better. I'm going to bounce back.
Well, look, just if you're not confident and you don't, you know, follow your gut and follow your heart, then you'll never have a Disney Plus movie made about your life, Chris.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Let's take a break because Ray McElrathby is going to be joining us on the Rich Eisen Show. Safety is coming to Disney Plus. He will join us next. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Sunday Night Football, Week 13 was supposed to have begun last night, but Thursday Night Football has been pushed to Tuesday because there was a Wednesday edition of Sunday Night Football from last week, and thus we haven't started the week yet. So the first nationally televised game of Week 13 will be this one, where the whole country, all 100%, get this game. Broncos-Chiefs Sunday night, kick off the coverage at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. On NBC, Mike Tirico will take you to kickoff of that game with the Football Night in America gang. And then we'll see two nationally televised Monday games and then one on Tuesday. Just crazy world we're living in right now. We're just trying to get from day to day, week to week in this crazy world. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience is going to be rejoining us in a second. Then we'll get to our final guest of this show and of this week where we have been having a good time trying to keep our feet firmly planted on the ground and keep everybody informed and entertained right here on NBC Sports on Peacock as well as our radio network. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Chris Brockman, let's hit the Wayback Machine here a little bit here. Remember these names? Chancey Stuckey.
Chancey Stuckey. I do remember Chancey Stuckey.
Jacoby Ford.
Very fast wide receiver.
Yes. You remember C.J. Spiller? C.J. Spiller?
Took him early in fantasy that year.
Tommy Bowden, head coach, 2006 Clemson Tigers. Along with our next guest, teammate of all of theirs, his story from that 2006 season, as well as his time on campus at Clemson University, has been made into a movie I cannot wait to see on Disney Plus that starts streaming next week called Safety. The aforementioned Safety from those Clemson Tigers is Ray McElrathby here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Ray?
I'm doing well. I'm doing great. Excited about everything that comes next.
I bet. So, when did somebody reach out to you to say, let's make your story into a movie, Ray? When did that happen?
That happened back in 06.
No kidding.
Long time ago, Mark Chardy, the producer of the movie, as well as another gentleman, a guy named Todd Ellis.
And said, let's make a movie out of what was going down on campus, and let's talk about what was going down on campus. Involving your brother Famar, and tell us the story that happened, and it's clearly the inspiration for this film.
Yes, one fun summer, my brother came to visit from Las Vegas. They were living at the time. He came to visit me at Clemson, and due to my family situation, my mother had addiction to crack cocaine, and my father was going through some tough times as well. Due to that situation, my brother Faymore didn't want to return home. He was staying in a weekly motel in Las Vegas at the time. And the situation was dire. And as opposed to going back, he said he would rather go to foster care, and that's when I stepped in. Because I felt like that was a little bit too far. And he asked, could he stay? And I thought it would be the better idea. I couldn't do any worse. And that's what began what set everything else in motion.
Stay on the campus in the dorms with you at Clemson.
Yes, yes. During my college football days, as me being a student athlete, yes, stay on campus with me.
And he was seven at the time, Famar, 7 years old?
Well, Famar was eight.
He was eight.
Famar was eight initially, then that turned to nine, then yes. And then by the time the story broke, he was pretty old.
I mean, so what was it like to have an 8-9-year-old in a dorm. Also, I imagine at the time you didn't run it up the flagpole, right? You just said, this is my brother. He is not going to foster care. He's looking at me and saying, hey, Ray, what if I stay here? And that's the end of that, right? That was what was going on.
Yes, it was not much to talk about at the time because I had been told it was better to apologize and ask for permission on this particular situation.
Yeah, right. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, so I kind of went because I wasn't sure about what I wanted to do and how I was going to go about doing it. So there was almost no, there was no system in place in which to deal with it. And so I knew he was staying there, but how it was going to take place, I was unsure. So I just told my roommate, like, hey, my brother's going to be here for a little while. Well, how long is a little while? I mean, until we leave, probably until we graduate. And so he was with it, and we kept moving, kept it going. It was a wonderful situation.
I'm sure Ray McElrathby here on the Rich Eisen Show talking about the inspiration for the movie Safety based on his life and times with his brother in Clemson. Look, I don't want to give away too much. People need to see the film, but was there a time when you thought that this wasn't going to stay the way that you wanted it to be? Is there a time in this relationship with your brother that this bond could have been ripped apart based on real world saying this can't be, this is not allowed? Right?
Yes. Well, there was not that the NCAA is a villain, but at the time I was suspended by the NCAA due to me breaking the rules that were in place at the time, which was a student athlete couldn't receive an extra benefit because of their likeness. And since someone was only doing something for my brother because of my likeness, then I was suspended in that situation. But the NCAA came back and stepped in and granted me a waiver, one of the things that they didn't have to do, but they stepped up and took the opportunity to do right by me, and I appreciate them for that. And here we are.
What did your teammates do for you back in the day?
Oh, man. There's guys that I can forever thank. Start with, God rest his soul, Gaines Adams. He was another guy on my team.
Oh, right.
Back in those days. Because I heard you bring up Chancey. Chancey was one of the first guys to, you know, start hanging with my brother and picking him up and keeping him when I didn't necessarily have to keep him. So those guys were very privileged. Anthony Waters. Anthony Waters was also a guy, he ended up playing with the Saints for a little while, who was also there for my brother. Not to mention all the guys in my class, the Chris Chancellors of the world, the James Davises, Paul Muse, Chris Clemens, a bunch of those guys stepped up and helped out. And so, not to discount the Clemson community.
Of course, yeah, because the community did step up too, right? Right, Ray? I mean,
yeah,
can you give me a little bit of detail on that, what they did when they heard about your story?
The coaching staff at the time, the Spences, Coach Rob Spence and his wife, Coach Sweeney and his family were very helpful at the time, just as far as picking up my brother and dropping him off at school and picking him up from school and things like that. The community came together and they created a trust fund for my brother, which was allowed by the NCAA to help me take care of him. And the Clemson community came through as well as the overarching community of all the Clemson fans and Clemson family that I luckily be a part of.
Ray McElrathby here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you mentioned likeness in terms of, you know, the NCAA, but when it comes to having somebody portray them in a film, I mean, the first choice is Denzel. Let's not kid around. But even Denzel would admit, you know, the age difference is tough to pull off. Jay Reeves is playing you. The actor Jay Reeves is playing you. What was your relationship with him and how you downloaded him with the real stuff?
Well, me and Jay relationship became very intimate. For the most part, we knew each other very well once we began to film because we only lived a mile away from each other in Los Angeles when he got the script. when he was also cast to play me. We didn't know each other before then, but once he was cast to play me, he was giving me a call, and we turned out we lived less than a mile away from each other, or less than a mile and a half away from each other, and attended the same gym. So we were able to hook up immediately once he was given the role, once he was rewarded the role. And so we hung out. I let him meet my family and everybody else in my family and tried to get to know me better so he could best portray me in the movie.
And how much of your family is still around, or where is everybody today?
My whole family is still around.
Oh, thank goodness.
A lot of the times with the movie, people will only think that Faymar is my only sibling, but I have seven siblings.
Mm-hmm.
I have three more brothers and four more sisters, and not to count the other families that I was part of because I was raised by my coaches. So I guess athletics has been a big part of my life the whole time. So I have other brothers and sisters from my coaches' families that I lived with growing up. And so that's kind of where I got a lot of the ideas about people taking care of or getting temporary and extended custody for kids, because I went through the same process as a young man myself.
Okay. So, and where's what's Faymar's memories of all these times as a 9-year-old?
Faymar had a wonderful time as far as I know, what he's told me. Faymar actually still lives right down the street from Clemson. I only visit for extended periods of time in South Carolina because I go back and forth between there, South Carolina, Atlanta, and California. But it's a wonderful experience. He's doing well. He's excited about everything that comes with the movie, and hopefully you'll probably give it a chance to talk to him soon here.
I know.
And him and my mother are also helping me with my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Ray Ray Safety Net Foundation. And so it was just trying to help kids like ourselves make it through the struggle of the life, especially during these times.
And the scenes where, Clemson's coming on the field, that looks like the real deal, man. This looks like as close to the real McCoy as you can possibly get, these scenes.
Well, we were in Clemson.
Yep.
It was during the actual game, so I guess it's the closest possible we can get.
How cool is that? That is amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so let's again, I'm sure it's been a while since you've competed. You on the same field as DeAndre Hopkins. Go. What happens? You and DeAndre.
Me and DeAndre, 101?
Yeah, right. What do you got?
I mean, I win. The best out of 10, he gets 4.
Okay. All right, so, yeah. No, I mean, because we're Clemson on Clemson. You're okay.
Yeah,
all right.
He's my guy. He's consistent as most, and he's probably the best receiver in the NFL currently.
Oh,
and so
okay.
And so, believe me, it's a lot to say that to him to get 4 out of 10.
Okay, so let's go 10. Let's go 10. Okay, let's go 10 snaps. You're Ray McElrathy, are disguising your coverage. Deshaun Watson, go. What do you got?
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I go 5 for 5. I give him a better chance.
Okay. Are we batting down passes? Are you picking him off? You're taking it to house? I mean, what do we have here, Ray? Come on.
I'm batting down passes because typically he extends the play, which makes it a lot harder to cover whoever who I'm checking. So it'll probably be me, rallying late, knocking down the pass as opposed to picking and taking to the house.
Okay. All right. But let's be honest. When it all comes together, though, you come out on top, regardless of whatever championships they might have won or how close they came.
Yes,
or things like that. I understand.
Just over time, I'm consistent. Right. That's what I know. If I stay consistent and stick to whatever the method is at the time, okay, I should come out on top.
But you're also
played a long game.
There you go, long game. But you're also highly community minded and minded people and human beings first. And I cannot congratulate you enough. I mean, this is amazing. Your life story is a Disney movie. That's a fact. And congratulations on that to you and your family. And what's the name of your foundation again, so we can get everybody's hooked up with that?
It's the Ray Ray Safety Net Foundation.
Ray Ray Safety Net Foundation. Okay.
Yes.
Well, everyone should go seek that out.
Safety Net to catch everyone.
Very good. Awesome. Ray, congrats again to you and your family. Enjoy all the trimmings and of a movie coming out with Disney and all these. And I appreciate you joining us on this program. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you all for having me.
You got
and
it.
If we only can get through this together, so just understand that. I just want everybody to know that.
You bet. Thank you. Right back at you. That's Ray McElrath. Be here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everyone, check out Safety on Disney Plus next week.
Wow, what a story.
Right, what a story.
Oh, my gosh.
What a story. But DeAndre only gets four off of him.
We'll have to tag DeAndre in that video.
Unless,
and
well,
see
I don't know. Ray might be covering him like the rest of the league, which is hack him the entire time and hope there's no flag
that's
comes.
True. That's true. How many flags are thrown?
Hack a nuke.
Hack a nuke is happening. No doubt about
well, it's
that.
Killing our fantasy teams, Rich.
All right, real quick, let's get to Newton in Virginia before we get going. Newton, I got about one minute for you.
Hey, and I'll make it really quick. First and foremost, cookies. Got to go to Trader Joe's and get the ginger snaps with the real ginger in it. It will change your culinary sweet tooth.
Okay. Ooh.
The other thing is that a fellow Richmonder, a former Tuckahoe Tomahawk, that's right, your guy, the cooker, Russell Wilson, will torch, I mean, just totally cook the Giants over the weekend. All right? He's going to burn them. You guys are talking about cooking. You're going to see some numbers from him. And Aaron Eckert, paycheck, yo. Let's not forget
oh,
that.
Paycheck.
Or
nice.
Everybody's All-American.
Very good. Very good. Ladies and gentlemen.
As long as Russ hits Tyler Lockett this week, like, come on.
Did anybody else catch that a guy named Newton called in about cookies?
I was, yeah.
It didn't say fake.
Well, oh, hey, wait a minute. It's not a cookie. It's a cake.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. We've had that. But thank you very much, Carl. Thanks, Newton. Yeah, we've definitely had that debate on this show.
Yeah.
Cookies or cake?
It's cookies or cake. Okay, let me give you one last food for thought going out the door.
Oh,
my unlockiest nice. Lock well of the done, week. Right. Here we go.
Lock it down. Or maybe leave it wide open. The unluckiest lock of the week.
You better lock it up.
Okay, this is where I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm hooked on a feeling. I just got this feeling. I have a feeling that the Atlanta Falcons, when they take on the New Orleans Saints, you typically throw the records out when these things happen. They hate each other. And just when you think it's not going to happen, it always does with these two teams. Didn't happen the last time, 2 weeks ago. And Taysom Hill is going to get, for the first time, very early. Normally when somebody starts for the first time, you can go through half a season without seeing somebody for a second time. In just 3 weeks, he's going to see the same team. And you know they're going to have some notes about what to do. And I know that you have Sean Payton on how to counter it. But I just feel that this is a team with Julio Jones coming back too. Keep an eye out for the Falcons over the Saints.
No, baby.
In week 13 in the National Football League. Haven't gotten one of these right, so do with it what you will, to use a Brockman phrase. I want to thank Scott Hansen, Aaron Eckhart, and Ray McElrathby, Ray Ray, for being on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Have a great weekend, everybody listening to us on radio. We will be seeing you on the radio next on Monday, but for those on Peacock, stay tuned. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.